AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. Severe weather moves through the South. A deadly tornado touched down northeast of Selma, Alabama. At least six deaths have been reported, and there is a lot of damage.
Damage and devastation. It's a mess. I got my car, got a power pole on top of it.
Alabama Governor Kay Ivey has issued a state of emergency for six counties. Also in the path of this storm system, Georgia, WSB's Jonathan O'Brien in Atlanta.
From the north side,
it's raining and it is hailing.
To the south side,
thunderstorm came out of nowhere. Me and several co-workers walked outside and actually laid our eyes on the funnel cloud.
Metro Atlanta residents reporting damage as the National Weather Service confirms they're investigating the possibility of multiple tornadoes touching down. So far, no reports of injuries or deaths. Jonathan O'Brien for CBS News, Atlanta.
California residents are taking stock of their losses from pounding rain and bracing for another storm this weekend. CBS's Carter Evans is in Santa Cruz.
Roadways damaged, homes damaged. We're talking about waves breaking into the bottom floors of homes and filling them with water, that sort of thing. You know, this is something that does happen here from time to time. But, you know, when I talk to people who've lived here for a while, they say they haven't seen anything like this since the 80s.
Following the discovery of documents marked classified at two locations connected to President Biden, Attorney General Merrick Garland appoints former U.S. Attorney Robert Hur as special counsel to investigate.
I am confident that Mr. Hur will carry out his responsibility in an even-handed and urgent manner and in accordance with the highest traditions of this department.
The documents found date back to President Biden's time as vice president. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says Mr. Biden did not know that the documents marked classified were at a Washington think tank office or his house in Wilmington. The only child of Elvis has been hospitalized. The latest on Lisa Marie Presley from CBS's Steve Futterman.
A representative tells CBS News that the 54-year-old daughter of Elvis Presley, Lisa Marie Presley, was taken to a hospital after suffering a cardiac arrest at her home in suburban L.A. Her mother, Priscilla Presley, says in a statement that her daughter is receiving the best care. On Tuesday, Presley attended the Golden Globe Awards, where the film Elvis, about her father, received an award. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
U.S. consumer prices fell for the first time in more than 2.5 years in December. Bankrate.com's Mark Hamrick.
The biggest reason for the overall decline is gasoline, which paced a drop in energy prices as well. Prices for shelter or housing and food were still on the rise.
Wall Street ticked higher. The Dow closed up 217 points. The Nasdaq jumped 69. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Liberty.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. Governor Evers' efforts to legalize recreational marijuana are likely up in smoke. That's what Assembly Speaker Robin Voss tells the Journal Sentinel. Evers plans to try to legalize recreational marijuana as part of his state budget proposal. Voss says legislative leaders are just starting to warm up to medical marijuana. Voss says Evers' recreational pot proposal could turn Republicans off. It's usually kids who get in trouble for fighting at school, but a number of adults are in trouble after a fight outside a middle school in Oshkosh yesterday. Police say it started when two students got into a fight, but then their family showed up and things escalated. Police arrested several of the adults. In sports, the Bucks beat Atlanta last night 114-105. Milwaukee's at Miami tonight. Marquette beat UConn last night 82-76. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
It's not a-
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which right. was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP. We're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
Oh. We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
What is dadication?
My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much. From the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night and every moment in between. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings.
That's dadication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio. A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin, WAUK 540 AM, always streaming at WAUK.
Miss a minute.
It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here. I couldn't help but think today of the guy who, you know, was riding on the horse. The British are coming. The British come. Remember him from history? Paul Revere, remember that guy? I can't help but think today, if he were around, riding on his gas-guzzling 1972 Cadillac with leaded gasoline and asbestos-filled doors, I can't imagine him singing, the stove troopers are coming, the stove troopers are coming. Wow, oh my goodness. Let's talk manufactured crisis. Let's talk outrage candy on steroids with high fructose corn syrup. Wow. And look, you have to love the symbiotic relationship between talk radio, cable news, and those idiot caricatures who represent us in Congress. You had Matt Gaetz, "You'll pry it from my cold, dead hands," as he's showing a gas flame just burning. And I'm going, really? Ronny Jackson, the same thing. Yesterday we talked about Ronny Jackson. Took a little heat for that from the addiction folks, but I can still see it. "You'll pry my stove from my cold or hot dead hands." Jim Jordan, "God, guns, and gas stoves." Really? Marsha Blackburn, "Have Democrats thought through their proposal to phase out gas stoves? It might cause the restaurant industry to collapse because we can't cook." We can't cook. You can't cook on anything but gas. And it got me thinking, it was one of these weird moments because, I've got a gas grill that sits outside of my, on the patio outside our house. And I'm going, there's a reason that we don't pull that into the house. I remember as a kid going, this doesn't make a lot of sense. It smells. And gas stoves do. There's a smell that it emits. Now, nobody is saying we do away with it. If you want to choose to have gas stove in your house and you want to smell that. Because, look, I have friends who are cooks who swear by the flame. I don't have a problem with this. And there's no movement. There's no movement to ban it. But yet, Fox News, government won't respond to proposal to ban stoves. Because there isn't one. And this is what they do. They do this all the time. They hype this stuff up because someone wrote a report saying, it causes asthma in kids. The fumes, the stuff that happens. Yeah, it as does a lot of things. Bug spray, cigarette smoke, industrial pollution. And I started thinking about, if we learned today that asbestos was bad for us, like if we didn't know, if we were just wow, who knew? We've been using it for so long, and all these people have been dying of lung disease. Nobody knew what it was from. If we learned today, if government came out today and said, you know, asbestos is killing all these people, we might want to find an alternative. Can you see Fox News and our representatives losing their freaking minds and wrapping themselves in blankets of asbestos? The answer? Yes. Because they're that kind of... This is one of those moron, those moments where you go, tell me you're a moron, tell me you're stupid, without opening your mouth. Leaded gasoline, same thing. Lead paint. If today, you know, there was a product like lead paint or lead gasoline. Because remember, we put lead in gasoline for one reason, to stop the engine from not knocking and making that noise, because it was cheaper than the safer alternative, because that's always the key. If we can save a corporation a little bit of money, the hell with your health, with your children's health. It's all about the bottom line and convenience. Convenience. One of the country morons, Big Hill Rich, whatever his name is, I'm going to get in my big gas car and I'm going to drive to the store and buy me a big steak and cook it on my gas grill. And you just go, this kind of idiocy, this kind of performative display of stupidity is just going to be the downfall of the country. I mean, really. Because you can't possibly have a rational conversation with stupid. You can't fix stupid. And today was that day where you're just going, oh my gosh, look at all of this. All of this. It's remarkable. And you know what didn't get any real attention? What Republicans in the House were actually doing. What Kevin McCarthy and the Republicans were setting themselves up to do, which basically gutting all financial regulations that have been put into place over the last couple of decades. You know, we had a massive financial collapse. Go back to that thing we remember learning about in history class that, you know, unfortunately, everyone who lived through it now is, or virtually everyone is now passed on. That little thing, that little Great Depression we learned about. We put some regulations in place to ensure that, you know, banks don't go under because they don't have money insured and they over-leverage their accounts so that they don't actually have any money. That financial institutions don't gamble and over-leverage so that you don't have these Ponzi scheme economies. And Glass-Steagall worked pretty well for a whole bunch of years. And Republicans, along with conservative Democrats and Bill Clinton, the Graham-Leach-Bliley that became the Economic Modernization Act of 1999, undid that. And we allowed banks to go back to good old gambling. And what happened? Damn near another depression in just 8 years. We went back, we re-regulated a little bit, not quite to where we were, a little bit. Put in the consumer financial protection folks to make sure that consumers were protected, heaven forbid. And Republicans have been losing their minds ever since because they want the booms and the busts because that's what rich people want. They want to be able to fleece working people because they do it so well. And this is what the Republicans have been actively doing while this outrage, this Stovegate, while Stovegate has got us fixated on, oh my gosh, they're going to take the stoves. They're coming for the stoves, just like they were coming for the light bulbs and the toilets. Remember the toilet thing? You're never going to have a toilet that flushes in your house ever again because Democrats don't believe in flush toilets. And you go, what? Remember Trump? He flushes the toilet like 10 times because you can't get a toilet to flush. And I'm going, you know, what's your diet if you're flushing 10 times? But again, it's about getting us all riled up while we're paying attention, you know, like the cat chasing the laser pointer. While we're over here chasing this nonsense. While we're being distracted, hey, stupid, over here, they are picking our pockets. They're robbing us blind. And this is not new. It's you go to the airport, the guy who picks your pocket figures out how to distract you. This is what this is. And congratulations, Republicans are really good at it. They are so much better at this than Democrats. Democrats are, you know, full straight on. They get right to the issue. No, not Republicans. They've given you a stove to fight for. We're fighting for stoves. And yet, you know, I saw a bunch of people, you know, like Matt Gaetz, with the flame, the burning flame from the stove as their gif in their little mean tweet for my cold dead hands. Yet there's nothing on the stove. There's no food on the stove to feed hungry children or homeless veterans. There's nothing to solve real problems. But we've got a cute little image. We're going to save the stoves. And as I was looking at that image that Gaetz put out, it reminded me of being a kid growing up in the projects, where in the wintertime, you use the stove to heat the house a lot of the times, because half the time the boilers didn't work. Half the times, you know, we didn't have money for anything, so you huddled around the stove to get your hands warm. And I got to wonder how many people are still doing that. I got to kind of wonder, you know, how many people in this country are still struggling. And when they see this kind of performative display, but we're saving the stoves, do they get angry? And when are we going to turn that anger into actual action and throw these bums out? Now, I did have another thought, though. I did. And this is where the capitalist in me came out. Because there's a part of me, you know, hyper-capitalist. I used to have like a 1950s era gas stove. And one of the first places I ever rented. It was this big old monstrosity. And it smelled, it was terrible. It leaked. I'm surprised I didn't blow up with it. But I wish I had that, so that I could now auction it off. This could be the last gas stove. And some idiot would probably pay me a lot of money thinking, oh my God, they're gonna ban the stoves. I better get one now while they're still around before they come and destroy all the gas stoves. Yeah, we're that society, folks. Sad, sad stuff. Want to hear your story. Do you have a gas stove? Will you hold on to it with your cold, dead hands? Taking it with you to the great beyond so that you can, I don't know, boil a hot dog? I want to hear it. 1-866-416-RICK. 1-866-416-7425. I'm going to take a quick break. Right back on the other side. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Have the talk. Fan of the show, you've heard our Labor History in 2 segments, and you can hear them on the radio pretty much anywhere in the U.S. Labor history has never been more important than it is right now. So here's what we'd like you to do. Tell a teacher. Tell a teacher that labor history is important and that they can get digestible 2-minute lessons that are absolutely free. Free to download, free to use, free to share. Tell a teacher to go to thericksmithshow.com/history and help us put labor back where it belongs, in the classroom. You know, generations of American workers fought, bled, and died to build the American way of life. It's our job to keep their stories alive. Go tell a teacher that we're here to help them do just that. Find us at thericksmithshow.com/history today.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
You simply have to love the performative displays that we see coming out of our representatives, because it's no longer about good governance. And you could argue it never really was, but you know, sometimes they did bring home the bacon. Sometimes they did address problems. Sometimes they did, oh, I don't know, their job. But right now their job is purely, I'm at this point, I'm thinking just entertainment. They're just entertainers. They're just there to amuse and distract us from the realities that we are getting stiffed at every turn. It's mind-blowing. I wanted to get to a couple of emails. I want to hear your thoughts. 1-866-416-RICK. 1-866-416-7425. Billy writes, Rick, love the Republicans hate working people frame. No one says that out loud, but we all know it. No, Billy. I say it out loud all the time because it is true. I've been doing this program almost 18 years now. And I say all the time, find me a piece of legislation, one piece of legislation that a Republican has dreamt up, didn't steal from a think tank, has dreamt up, written up, proposed, found sponsors to, gotten passed, and signed into law that sole purpose was to benefit working people. Show me that one thing. It's not there. It's just not there. And this is where you keep coming back to the reality of Republicans hate working people. And I wish this weren't true. I wish it weren't. I wish there were people who said, no, we should be fighting. Because look, in this moment, Republicans could come forth and go, look, you know, workers don't have sick days. Those railroad workers, they should have sick days. We've got sick days. They should have sick days. We've got pensions. They should have pensions. We've got great health care. They should have great health care. We make a good living. They should make a good living. See how this goes? But they don't do that at all. No. They preach this free market crap. You know, the one with the most toys who dies wins. Greed is good. It's frightening and it's frustrating. I got Kurt on line one. Kurt, how are we doing today?
Hey, I'm doing good, Rick. I got a good natural gas story for you here.
Blow me away with it.
In June, what's that?
Blow me away with it.
Okay, here we go. So in June, my wife and I, we decided to make our house a Green New Deal, and we got solar put up. We had gas. We had a gas hot water tank, a gas stove. And we eliminated the gas stove in the hot water tank. All our, in the bathrooms and the sinks, they're all instant hot water.
Nice.
We got the induction stove. My wife has one of the worst cases of asthma of anybody on the planet. And she has not had a asthma attack or asthma cough since June of over the summer, since we eliminated it.
Good for her.
For her, that's a very big deal.
No, that's a huge deal. And look, you know, the report is not wrong. You know, I think the report said 1 in 8 children who suffer from asthma can be linked to these gas stoves. I mean, they're not wrong. But still, nobody's coming to take your gas stoves.
Right, exactly. And no one was forcing me. The Democratic Party here wasn't forcing me to do this. We just did this on our own. And, you know, to me, it's a huge thing. And even just like in August and September, when it's high humidity here and very hot, going inside the kitchen while she was cooking in this August and September, it was very comfortable in there. Last September, when she would cook, you wouldn't go inside the kitchen because it's like a death trap. Yeah. And even in the laundry, with where the hot water tank is, our laundry room, it's just more comfortable in there.
Nice.
And
now you'd be happy to know
so
that
there's
Ohio.
Something to be said about that. And in the climate bill, there's a big portion of it to eliminate natural gas and to go electric. And
yeah, there's a big part of it to go green.
It's a very good part of the climate bill that's going to be happening this year.
Yeah, and, the language is to get
Democrats green. I hope the Democrats talk about that.
To get green technologies, and which is why Ohio has changed green technologies, where natural gas is no longer a fossil fuel. It is a green fuel now.
Absolutely.
You got to love Ohio. But, Kurt, I appreciate the call. Thanks so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
This is where you go with that, man. I'm happy for his wife. Look, just having the information now, because I think a lot of people wouldn't even know that it was the gas stoves that could probably be causing people asthma. I'm sure my mother didn't know that the gas stoves were contributing to my asthma as a kid, that the bug spray that they were using to fumigate our house, didn't know. In fact, back then, they didn't even know cigarette smoke was bad for you. We were still coming off of Ronald Reagan's "not a cough in a carton." You know, Dr. Ron. I got another email who asked about... Yesterday, I talked about Christian Sharia law. And because I saw something on Twitter and asked a guest if they had seen it, because I wasn't 100% clear on what it was. But Marianne in Minneapolis, listening on KTNF AM 950, cleared it up for me. It wasn't Congress that was doing this Christian Sharia law kind of thing. It was the House of Representatives in Missouri. So I got the information, because it was one of those things that I told Will. I said, I'm not really sure where it is, but I've seen this thing floating around. Maybe you've seen it, where they're going to slap women with a dress code on the House floor. Well, evidently in Missouri, this is what they're doing, because, they want to maintain a formal and professional atmosphere on the floor. And, of course, not distract men by showing women's arms. Because evidently the previous rule was dresses, skirts, or slacks would be worn with a blazer or a sweater and appropriate shoes. Now, I don't know that they have, you know, a dress code for men, but you know, this is where they are. They have now amended that officially to cardigans. Women are now allowed to wear cardigans on the House floor. Isn't that wonderful? Yay! because look, you don't want to distract the men from their incredibly important work of denying women their rights. All right. I got one more. Brian from Wisconsin writes, Rick, I heard you talk about non-competes on your podcast, and thank you for bringing this issue to light. Did you mention, however, that there is an open comment period happening right now at regulation.gov? Can you point your audience in that direction to flood it with comments and end this ridiculous practice? Regulation.gov. We will get links out to make sure people find the non-compete section and make a comment, because this is idiotic. It's always been idiotic. You remember I talked about Jimmy John's making their employees, a sandwich shop, making their employees... sign non-competes so that they couldn't go somewhere else to make a sandwich. Because, yes, peanut butter and jelly is proprietary. Yeah, now, we all know that, you know, again, you're not going to stop it. You know, they're not going to be able to do anything to you. They're not going to be able to sue you. They're not going to be... But they are going to scare people. And it's what they've been able to do for way too long. And the website's regulations.gov, not regulation. And I'll make sure I get that cleared up. Because I was looking at the site and I was making a comment. Because what we know is these non-compete agreements, they add a chilling effect into the marketplace, lowers wages. We know this. Stifles competition because makes you think, hey, I can't go start my own business because, you know, this employer is going to sue me. I can't quit because I'm stuck here because I can't go anywhere else because I signed this agreement. The FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, is now putting an open period for people to go in and make comments and tell their stories about this. So I'm encouraging folks to go to regulations.gov and look up the... it's right there on the site, the non-compete section, and make a comment. Say, hey, this has got to go. It's promoting unsafe, hostile workplaces. You know, whatever. You know, throw in what you've. It's, you know, stifled the formation of new businesses. Go in with whatever your thought process is, and make a statement. And maybe we get this overturned. And maybe we start fighting back on all of the anti-worker stuff that's being thrown at us. Maybe we start taking the fight to them instead. This might be a good way to start. Regulations.gov, the website, if you want to make a comment. And I hope you do. And let me know if you do, because I think it's an important bit.
The Shaw 101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Severe storms rip through the south in Autauga County, Alabama, 41 miles northeast of Selma. Emergency Management Director Ernie Baggett says at least six people have died.
We have some injuries. We have multiple homes that are damaged, multiple trees down the roadways with power lines entangled in those.
In Monterey County, California, rising rivers could cut off communities. Sheriff Tina Nieto says they expect the Salinas River to reach flood stage later tonight.
State and local officials are preparing for continued flood stage activity, possibly through 9 o'clock on Sunday.
Attorney General Merrick Garland appoints a special counsel to investigate the presence of documents marked classified in two Biden locations. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum on this and the Trump documents case.
Documents that should be in the National Archives are found in the possession of, in this case, a former vice president. A special counsel could not have been appointed for one of these circumstances and not the other.
CBS News Brief. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matner with your headlines. A proposal called Parental Rights and Transparency was unanimously approved by the Waukesha Board of Education Wednesday night. Under the measure, district staff aren't allowed to call a minor student by names, nicknames, or pronouns other than those commonly shortened or abbreviated full names or pronouns consistent with the student's biological sex without the parent's written permission. Regarding sports, students will participate in programs consistent with their biological sex and the rules of the WIAA. Parents can opt their kids out of classes or lessons that may not align with the family's deeply held personal or religious beliefs. A dairy farmer from Viroqua has been appointed to the Wisconsin DNR board. Governor Evers announcing Wednesday Paul Burr will take his position on the board on January 20th. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
Wait a minute. How about this? Listen to me, you lantern-jawed cretin. You horned-eyed homunculus. You are going to do what's right for the people of Wisconsin. You're putting cans of water in our water, destroying the greatest university system in the country and public education. Knock it off. That is unlikely to be said. That's what I'd say.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Get inside.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, this is one of these things that I didn't know if there was ever going to be an answer to the question. But as we were driving to Florida, and we were speeding down the high occupancy vehicle lane, the kids were wondering what would happen. What would happen if there was a single woman in that high vehicle and she happened to be pregnant? Would that then count as two people in the car? And I said, I don't believe so. Well, Virginia is about ready to change that. Virginia will, evidently, they're going to deem a pregnant person's fetus a passenger in a car. And you can drive in the carpool lane on the highway. They're trying to encourage people to have children. And one of the perks, for 9 months, you get to drive in the high vehicle lane. You still got to pay the tolls, but you get to drive in the high vehicle lane. How wonderful is that? Anyway, here to share some thoughts on the crazy stories of the day and maybe high vehicle lanes, I've asked our good friend Sarah Burris to come talk with us. She is the fabulous reporter over at Raw Story, rawstory.com, the website. Sarah, thanks for taking time for us.
Hello. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday. So we pro this. Does this make sense? And how do you enforce it?
It does make sense. If you're going to be one of those states that decides that a fetus is a living human being, I wonder then if that means that they're going to say that women with babies in the back seat can also be in the carpool lane, which I think is completely legitimate. But yeah, Texas, there was actually a lawsuit that was going on in Texas about this because there was a woman who was pregnant who kept going through the carpool lane because Texas had decided that a fetus was human. And sure enough, she won her case every time. So, yeah, I mean, if you're going to make laws like this, then, but I think that the thing is you kind of have to take it across the board, right? Like, it's not just the carpool lane. It's also that everybody is now 9 months older than when they were actually born because your birth date should be the date of conception, right? So all of these kids out there that are 15 years old, congratulations, you're about to be 16 because we're adding 9 months onto your birthday so you can drive faster.
So I'm 9 months closer to retirement then, is what you're telling me.
Exactly. And kids are 9 months closer to driving, 9 months closer to voting, 9 months closer to buying weed and liquor, all of the above. So 9 months closer to retirement, to Medicare, like all of these things, if that's what the state is deciding they're going to go with.
Interesting. I just thought it was one of these things where I'm going, do we not have more important problems to address?
Yes.
You know, like making sure that everyone has access to good, solidly well-built gas stoves.
That has been the weirdest conspiracy thing that was going on. And I will give it credit. I didn't know this was a thing until Republicans started freaking out about it. I mean, there are people who genuinely cook and who bake have a preference for gas stoves.
Sure.
Old houses generally have gas heating and stoves. I just replaced, unfortunately, all of the gas lines in my house because of gas issues. So I guess the way that Republicans think this is that Democrats want to force people to use electric stoves, which then uses less gas, natural gas. And then I guess that's a better fossil fuel. I don't really understand it. Like, I guess if your house is solar powered, then, you know, but.
Well, the report that came out said that, you know, 1 in 8 children in the country who suffer from asthma can be linked back to gas stoves. Because, look, they stink. I mean, I've had gas stoves in the past. I've always hated. They always gave me headaches. Always hated the smell of gas. My daughter's house has gas heat and a gas stove. I hate it because it stinks. That's not good for me. I don't have a gas stove in my home. My choice. You want to put up with that? God bless you. You do that. But it makes me think we're in this moment where, you know, watching Republicans do this performative dance that, you know, the stove troopers are coming to steal your stoves. It makes me think, you know, what would have happened if we just learned that lead in gasoline was bad or asbestos was bad? Would Matt Gaetz wrap himself in a blanket of asbestos to say, no, asbestos is warm and wonderful? I mean, it's that kind of crazy moment that we're in that we can't have an honest discussion about what they're actually talking about other than the outrage candy they keep shoving at us.
And that's the thing, too, is like their selective outrage where it's like, okay, well, yes, stoves are bad for kids with asthma, but let's talk about Los Angeles. Like living in Los Angeles, I feel like is probably more hazardous to yourself, to your health than a gas stove. So, I mean, there are a lot of bigger issues that I think, you know, living like next to a toxic waste dump, swimming in a nuclear pond, you know, all of these things are really bad for your health. And I'm with you. I'm wondering if Republicans are going to start embracing this.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible to me. And like you said, there's so many bigger problems out there, you know, like Hunter Biden's laptop, like Hillary's emails, like all of the documents that now Joe Biden evidently was stuffing in drawers and shirts and garages and closets that evidently, you know, is the same as what Trump did.
Oh, my God. That has been the craziest thing to deal with all week. And it's really concerning because people legitimately sort of look at this as, well, screw it, all politicians are evil, all politicians do the wrong thing. And it's like, no, that's the problem, is that there really truly is a difference between somebody who's like, you know, takes their arm and just rakes everything into a box off of their desk. That's how I clean. And the people who are like Donald Trump, who asked folks to pack up those documents, who signed off on the fact that he took the documents whenever he left, and then refused to give, you know, the 13,000 documents back to the National Archives when they kept asking about it for a year, then refused a subpoena, then refused the FBI, then lied to a judge, then lied to the FBI. I mean, it's just like, if you cannot see the difference between that and an accident, I can't help you.
Yeah. No, but it did show me one thing today, that that Merrick Garland can actually, oh, I don't know, do a job.
Move quickly.
Yeah. I mean, This just broke. We got a special counsel already. Bang. I was like, wow, that was quick. Where you been, Merrick?
Right? Seriously. And that's the thing, too, is it took so long with the Trump stuff, and you're just like, dude, where have you been?
Now, here again, the important thing you just said. If you could come to me and say Joe Biden did all the things that you ticked down, that he hoarded this material, he signed off on taking the material, he refused to give the material back, he fought subpoenas, he had his lawyers basically lie, cheat, and steal the whole thing, then yeah, we throw the bum out.
Yeah.
But he's going, no, we'll cooperate fully. Let's give them whatever they want back. We shouldn't have it. He's actually following the rules.
Exactly. And that's the thing. There was a really good Substack that somebody used to work for the National Security Council, who handled classified documents, who wrote about, you know, it's actually not shocking to have classified documents accidentally end up at a library for a former president or a former vice president. And that doesn't surprise me, particularly if it was something major in that president or vice president's political career that then becomes part of the archives in the presidential library.
Right.
So, you know, stuff like that doesn't shock me. And that's sort of what Trump has tried to blame Obama for, because Obama is, you know, has, like every other president, a library that he's building, and all of those documents will live in this library, and that will be regulated by the National Archives. It doesn't mean that Obama stole them.
Yeah, Obama didn't put on a black costume and break in the middle of the night with the codes and sneak out with a briefcase. Like, what was his name? Sandy Berger? Didn't he get busted doing that?
I was going to say the Hamburglar, but sure.
Sandy Berger, Hamburglar, sure, why not? But you know, this is the part that's really kind of troubling, because, you know, especially when you're talking about classified material that have been classified after the fact. So when you took it, wasn't classified. Then somehow, and this is how weird how our classifications work, they can go mm-hmm. back and classify something in rears, and now you're stuck with classified documents. I think we have to have an honest conversation about this, and I think an investigation is well needed here. I think it's something we should be doing. But to watch the Fox News, to watch the outrage machine go crazy about how Hunter Biden and China have seen the documents and no.
These are the same people who had a fit about the obesity of the M&M creature cartoons. I saw a screen capture of that this week and I was like, do you really not have anything to talk about? Last week, I guess, when Biden was on the border, they had a whole story about he cleared his throat, which was like a secret message to the Border Patrol that he was forcing them to do something. And it's just like, man, you are so this is like tan suit desperate at this point. You gotta find something.
Or Islam rug curtains.
Yeah, like what next? They really are going to start saying that Biden is a secret Muslim. You know, I don't know why they can't come up with anything more legitimate than this. That's just lazy.
Yeah, well, let the fun begin. What an interesting time we're in, and it's going to get worse because you know you got now Jim Jordan who said mm-hmm. God, guns, and gas stoves.
Which is amazing. I didn't know that all of these people were bakers.
No, they just boil hot dogs.
Yeah, right? Like, that's my question is, like, do you really use a gas stove? Then I expect some muffins tomorrow.
All right, I'm pro-muffin.
Uh-oh.
Blueberry, chocolate, cinnamon? Where are we going?
I made some really good blueberry muffins yesterday, and then the cat tried to steal it today. It was a whole drama thing. I mean, I had to fight for my muffin.
Oh, boy. Yeah, this has gone off the rails.
Right? This isn't even my cat. This is my roommate's cat. This is my life. It's very exciting over here in Washington.
It's about to be, though. I mean, it's about to be. We've now got the select committee. We've got the select committee on the weaponization of government. Mm-hmm. And we're going to see just how we weaponize government right before our very eyes. While claiming government's been weaponized.
I'm wondering at what point that actually gets stopped, because we're talking about a pretty big question about the separation of powers that's in the Constitution. And so I am curious to see if the Justice Department is going to be like, yeah, no, nope, 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 nope. And really sort of stonewall them and the extent to which they're going to try and go to court over this. Because if you go back to the Trump taxes thing, that's a really good example of where the courts were like, you know, you can't see Trump's taxes unless you're going to do some kind of, like, is there proof you're doing something legislatively? And Ways and Means said, yeah, we're working on legislation about why it's important, you know, to mandate the IRS doing audits on taxes. And then lo and behold, we found out the IRS hadn't been doing their audits on presidents the way that they should have been.
And again, we were told for years that Trump couldn't give us the taxes because he was always audited.
Yeah. Oh my God, he lied. Are you surprised? But
which one of the 30,000 was that?
Right. In this case, though, there is no real legitimate legislation that they're trying to push. This is just an investigation for the sake of an investigation. It's a fish hunt, a fishing expedition looking for a fish is what I heard one of the legal nerds say this week. And I was like, yeah, that works. That's a good one.
Yeah. So do you think that you know, the Justice Department stepping up and saying, no, you can't continue to do this, will just be overturned by the Supreme Court?
I really don't know, because then you truly are. I mean, if they aren't deciding what the separation of powers are in this, then it kind of opens up a door for Congress to intrude on them, because the judicial branch, if there's no separation of powers between Congress and the executive branch, then why would there be in the judicial branch? So that puts them at a really big disadvantage for when Democrats take you know, the House over again, or, you know, with Democrats holding the Senate right now.
No, that's an excellent point. And Supreme Court right now are our six dictators in robes. They most certainly don't want any part of anyone checking in on
right?
them. No, no.
And that's something that Americans are like, yes, we should. And so I feel like there's probably a more legitimate case in there than there would be with people being like, please, you're going to investigate the fact that the FBI took your phone, Scott Perry.
Scott, pardon me, Perry.
Yeah. Scott, pardon me, Perry.
Oh, yeah. Scott Perry. And that's the right response. You just got to.
I know.
Where are we?
And it's really funny, like, not every congressman makes me have a frustrated sigh, but it's true. Scott Perry really just makes me go, ugh.
Really? Listen to the Rick Smith Show. We're with Sarah Burris. Sarah's a reporter over at Raw Story, rawstory.com, the website. Wanted to get your thoughts on Paul Ryan's assessment of Donald Trump, saying he's fading fast. He's a proven loser. He lost us the House in 18. He cost us the White House in 20. He cost us the Senate again and again. I can't imagine him getting the nomination, frankly. He's a proven loser.
Don't you know that Trump is like having a small heart attack over that? I mean, if I was Trump, my response would be like, well, it takes one to know one. Because let's be honest, Paul Ryan, also a loser. But, you know, Trump has a lot of elections that he's lost under his belt. And I would argue a lot of court cases, too. So he is having a rough go of things, and things are going to get worse for him. And I agree. I don't know that he could win in 2024. There would have to be, I think he's going to have to get out and campaign a heck of a lot more than he thinks he is. And we're not seeing that right now. You know, he's sitting at Mar-a-Lago and, you know, watching Fox News and truthing on his little truth machine.
Yeah, and he's fleecing the flock.
Yeah, but that flock is getting smaller. One of the things that I found out this week from the election that I hadn't seen the raw numbers on, there were more Republicans that voted than Democrats nationwide. All of these Senate seats where Democrats won, it was because Republicans voted for Democrats. Independents across the board voted for Democrats. I think the vote for like 8% of Republicans voted for Democrats, where only 2% of Democrats voted for Republicans. So it's not a huge amount, but it's a significant enough amount that you're like, wow, you guys lost your own people.
Yep. No, you lost because of you. Not because, yeah. And the Democrats need to take this to heart and understand that you need to start doing something, getting stuff done, which is why I think it's important to let the Republicans do what they're going to do over the next 2 years in the House.
Yeah.
One of the things that potentially I wanted to get your thoughts on, the new Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy, said he's open, willing to take a look at expunging those impeachments that happened during the Trump years. Is that possible?
No. I mean, you can give it, like, write him a hall pass or something, or, like, you know, give him one of those get-out-of-jail-free cards from Monopoly. I don't know, but it's on the record, dude. Like,
the history's there.
Yeah, it's kind of written in stone. Like, it's already there. It's gone to the National Archives. They've made copies. Like, it's there. Sorry.
And finally, wanted to get your thoughts on this this wife of an Iowa Republican who ran for Congress back in 2020. Evidently, she voted 23 times. So as I'm saying, it doesn't happen. Evidently, 23 fraudulent votes by this Republican woman voting for her Republican husband.
Well, you know, that's just dedication right there. That's how you show that you love your husband, is you commit a felony for him.
Not just one.
But 23.
Yeah.
20. I mean, and here's my question. Why did she stop at 23? Like, did she just get tired?
Right.
Was she like, oh, I need a latte or something? Like, is that, and just bailed? Or did she go back to the poll place and they were like, wait a second, you look familiar.
I've seen you 23, 22 other times.
Right.
And why are we just now learning about this?
Because this is what's happened over the last couple of years is, you know, these small stories of Republicans that are committing voter fraud over, you know, in Florida in the Villages and in Pennsylvania and North Carolina, and Mark Meadows committed voter fraud and they're not going to charge him. So, I mean, we're hearing all of these little drip stories about this, and, you know, still Ron DeSantis is having police show up at people's houses with guns and try and say that they did something illegal because they voted when they didn't know they couldn't.
So the election police haven't thwarted election crimes. We haven't gotten down to those people who, you know, what voted, you know, what was it, 700,000 times in Georgia. We haven't gotten those folks yet.
Yeah, apparently that wasn't true. Who knew?
Oh, I know I said last time, but I wanted to get your thoughts on the diamonds and rust. I mean, diamonds and spice. I mean, what the hell are their names? Diamonds and silk.
Diamond and silk.
Yes. One of them passed away recently, and the inner tubes are going crazy because they were big, COVID deniers. And the rumor is, and I don't know it to be factual, but she had it back a couple of months ago. The conversation is that she probably died of COVID, had some comorbidities, if you will, fits. Thoughts?
You know, I really don't want to speak ill of the dead. Suffice to say, everybody should get vaccinated. I am so freakishly afraid of needles, and even I got vaccinated and then had a minor panic attack about it right before. I seriously am afraid of needles that much. And so I just, this idea that, you know, you're somehow going to be safe. I think this is such a huge virus and it's spreading, you know, so quickly, and there's so many different variants now, everybody's going to get it. And so you have the option to protect yourself or not. And if you don't want to protect yourself, you're really taking your life in your own hands. And so,
and this is where I am now. I'm at this position now. You got a vaccine. We've got some therapeutics. The healthcare system seems to have things kind of under control. We don't have refrigerated trucks acting as morgues right now. So, you know, I'm not in the, hey, we shut everything down. I'm not there. But, you know, common sense.
Yeah, it really is. It's common
I have no sympathy for people who don't. No, it's all a hoax, and then end up, well, parked next to Herman Cain.
Yeah, and or go to Florida and don't wear a mask. Like, you're really putting your life in danger there. That was a joke. Did you see what I did there?
Yeah, I know. I saw the shots you were given.
I like to make jokes about Florida because Ron DeSantis. But, they put the duh in Florida. We just got back from there, so I have like a bunch of good Florida jokes.
Give me another one. Telling. Give me another Florida joke. Since we've got a station in Florida that beats me up pretty regularly.
Really?
Yeah.
What is the station there?
WCAT in Ormond Beach, outside of Daytona.
Oh, WCAT, where everyone should get vaccinated. We'll let them use that as the commercial. My little pitch.
Well, we just lost that affiliate.
Hey, that was I used my NPR voice on that, man.
All right. Well, good. But Sarah, as always, excellent stuff. I'm sure the fun and entertainment ahead is going to, well, keep us well entertained. I'm waiting for the big select committee on the weaponization of government to keep the outrage candy flowing so that when the stove troopers show up to my house, I'll even be distracted from that.
Boy, be careful of those cartoon M&Ms too, because they're dangerous, apparently.
There you go. Sarah Burris, I appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Have a good weekend.
You as well. Our good friend Sarah Burris. Make sure you check out the work she does over at Raw Story, rawstory.com, the website. They do incredible work. But seriously, the whole stormtrooper thing, remarkable. Watching that play out was incredible, to show the power and the connection between the outrage of talk radio and cable news and the little marionettes in Congress, the little puppets, just doing these little performative dances around, Oh, no, from my cold, dead hands. God, guns, and gas stoves? Yeah, that's going to be the guy heading up the weaponization select committee. Oh, the fun and entertainment. Want to hear your thoughts. If you've got any fun and entertainment, I want to hear it. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Take a quick break, right back. Stick around. You'll listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.